our text setting, Peter is with six other disciples, okay? And they went on an overnight fishing trip into the Sea of Tiberias, okay? They caught no fish. When the morning comes, they see and hear a man who yells to them, "Hey, have you caught any fish?" They yell back, "No." The stranger on the beach tells them to throw their fishing nets on the right side of the boat. And once they did, to their amazement, they wind up catching 153 large fish. John recognizes it was Jesus that was yelling. And Peter automatically jumps into the sea and swims to the shore. The other disciples, they start to steer the boat to the shore. And Peter drags the net of the 153 fish to the shore, where they then had a fish fry. So after breakfast, Peter and Jesus go for a walk on the beach. You know, so how many of you have ever been on a walk on the beach? You know, it's pretty nice, right? Yeah. So think of this. So imagine, okay, so after breakfast, Peter and Jesus are going for a walk on the beach. And while they're walking on that beach, you know, Jesus is teaching Peter a kingdom truth that will transform his Christian walk with Jesus for the rest of his life. Okay? So, if you're taking notes, this is my first point, okay? My first point is this: I will follow Christ with unconditional love. Turn with me to John 21, but we're going to read again 15 through 17, okay? And I want to read this. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, did you truly love me more than these?" Jesus said, "Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." You know, Jesus goes to the heart of Peter and addresses a kingdom truth: what it takes to follow Jesus in this Christian life that we live. The word Jesus uses for love is agape. Okay? How many have heard of that? Agape. This is the Greek word for the kind of unconditional love. When Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" he was asking Peter, "Do you love me unconditionally?" Now, think about this. You see the love Peter had before the cross, okay? Before Jesus was put on the cross, Peter's love was a conditional kind of love, okay? What I mean by that, it's a love that sets conditions, okay? When you look at marriages sometimes, this comes to my mind because sometimes people will say, "You know what? I will love you on these conditions first." Okay? So it's not unconditional. Peter thought he loved God unconditionally, but his love was conditional. When you look at John 13, 31 through 38, Peter says, you know, he was willing to die for Jesus, but we all know that was not true. Okay, and especially if you've, I don't know if you've been watching the new NBC series AD, but it kind of, you know, the episode has showed that how when Jesus, you know, when Peter denied Jesus three times, okay? So, as Christians, I think we can all relate to Peter, and I know for myself, you know, I'm not proud of this, but I've done and I've acted like this as far as, you know, putting conditions, not really loving God unconditionally and following Jesus, okay? For example, you know, there's examples of how we sometimes are like Peter. You know, when we look at time, for example, you know, our time is precious, right? You know, they always say time is money. You know, money is time. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, as long as it does not take long, does not mess with my plans or schedule, yeah, you know, I'll follow Jesus. Some will, you know, we look at labor or work. Some will say, well, you know, as long as it doesn't mean hard work, long hours, as long as it's easy and short, yeah, you know, I'll follow Jesus, or I'll help out in the church, you know. Money, okay. As long as I don't have to give anything, as long as it does not cost me anything, sure, you know, I'll follow Jesus. You know, your reasoning, you know, well, wait a minute, what's in it for me? You know, these are things that we do. Commitment. As long as I can say no and leave when I want to, sure, I'll follow Jesus. Accountability. As long as I can do what I want my way. How many have heard that before? As long as I can do what I want my way. You know, reminds me of that song that Sinatra sang. You know, I did it my way. And these are the things, you know, I share these examples because these are true examples that we can all relate to, and that maybe you or someone that you know has been or has done this, you know, where they set conditions, you know, and saying, yeah, I'll follow you, Jesus, but wait a minute. Oh, my money? Wait a minute, no. Wait, my time? Well, as long as it's not, you know, during the NBA playoffs or, you know, a boxing match or, yeah, I'll follow you, Jesus, you know. So, you know, I share this because it's so true. And, you know, when we look at 1 John, in fact, if you can turn with me to the book of 1 John, and we're going to go to chapter 4, okay. And when you go to chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 9. Amen. Okay, starting with verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So you see, God the Father and Jesus set no conditions on their love for you and I. Okay? God sent his only Son. Jesus took on the pain, the suffering, the rejection, the death for us. Isn't, when you look at that, can't you say, isn't that awesome that God would do this? If Jesus gave his all unconditionally, then he expects for his followers to give their all too. Amen? To follow Christ in this life, in the kingdom of God, requires you and I to go through a transformation. Peter's love was transformed from a conditional love to an unconditional love. It was the experience of unconditional love of God through Christ's death for our forgiveness of sins. So in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 to 10, this is love. You know, he says, Christ was our atoning sacrifice. When you experience the love of God in Christ, this will transform your love to follow Christ with all your heart. Amen? You know, it kind of reminds me, I was last week, I think it was last weekend, you know, I was during the day on a Saturday, I was flipping some channels, and I was surprised. I came across, they were showing this movie, Crossing the Switchblade. And it's an old 70s movie, but I don't know if you remember Eric Estrada from, you know, the old show Chips, you know. Well, he had played on in this movie, and it was a true story about, you know, this little young punk gangster in New York who basically just was causing a bunch of havoc and was, you know, in gangs and fighting. Well, this preacher, you know, he feels led by God from this small little state or town to go to New York and to start witnessing and reaching out, you know, to these gangs, because there was just a big epidemic. There was drugs, you know, everything that was going on over there. And so as this preacher, David Wilkerson, you know, was witnessing, he comes across, you know, Nikki Cruz, who Eric Estrada was playing in the movie. And, of course, you know, right away they hated the minister. You know, they thought he was just full of it. And they hated the fact that he was preaching love and preaching forgiveness. And they're saying, you know, how can you, you know, say love that brother when he killed my brother? You know, he killed my sister, you know, whatever. And so he finally gets them in, like, kind of like an auditorium, okay? And on one side, if you can imagine, there was one gang. The other side, there was another gang. And they were going to basically have it out that night. And it's pretty bold of this preacher to do this, but he got them together. And all of a sudden, God spoke in his heart to the minister, and the minister began to share, you know, God's love about what Christ did on that cross and how, you know, he paid the price for us and the pain that he took. And as he began to preach, you know, the Nikki Cruz, you know, began to hear the message. And for the first time, his eyes were opened. And he basically, you know, he had a knife in his hand and everything. And right when, you know, God began to minister to him, all of a sudden somebody else from the other gang was going to come up, and he disturbs the minister, and basically says, hey, you know what, that may be one way to show God's love and power, but down here this is our way of showing power, and we're going to have it out tonight. And sure enough, Nikki Cruz comes up to the altar, and he says, hey, he goes, listen, have you been listening to the preacher? He goes, you know, while I was listening to the preacher, and he goes, I don't know how to say this. He goes, but, you know, the message that you're preaching tonight, you know, I get it. You know, I get it. You know, and I want to give my life to the Lord. And that was the beginning for him, for that young little gangster, you know, where he had a transformation, okay? A transformation. And that's what Peter had, okay? Peter's love was transformed from a conditional love to an unconditional love. Okay? So, when we look at this, you know, fear, guilt, obligation works for a while, okay? Because sometimes, you know, I've met people where, you know, they'll come to God when they're in a crisis, or they might give themselves to the Lord when, you know, out of fear, because, you know, they hear about the end times, they don't want to go to hell. But, you know, fear, guilt, and obligation only lasts for a short time. Eventually, it loses its power and their motivation, and only God's unconditional love can keep us from following Jesus, to keep us to follow him. So this leads me to my second point, okay? We follow Christ with love in action. Amen? In referencing John 21:15-17, each time Peter responds to Jesus' question, do you love me? And ask yourself that question. Do you love me? Jesus says, if you love me, then do this. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Jesus is telling Peter, if you're going to follow me, then you have to follow me with a love that is demonstrated, okay? That is backed up with action, not just words, okay? You see, you have to understand this, all right? I need to help you understand who Peter was, okay? Now, Peter, he was a man who was very passionate. You know, he spoke passionately with conviction. His words were convincing. He was very persuasive. You know, very, you know, I guess you can say he just had a lot of drive, a lot of energy. But Peter's words were very shallow. It was all mouth. Peter's words, you know, were just words. His actions were inconsistent. And I like to say, you know, what do you call that? Okay. Well, I call it no nonsense. It's just nonsense. You know, there's so many, sometimes, you know, like, especially now with all these different candidates that are going to be coming out running for president, you know, sometimes when you hear some of these candidates, you think, ah, you know, they're full of it. You know, sometimes you think that. And I know how many of you have ever had a friend, okay, who always said things but never followed through with it. I know for me, I remember a time when I had a friend who used to always brag about how he was going to do this or that or this. But when push came to shove, he never did anything. He never produced. Okay, he was all talk, no action. It was just empty words. And it reminds me of what Benjamin Franklin was quoted to say. He said, "Well done is better than well said." Okay. So what I want to point this out, you know, because you see, it's easy to say, "Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. Jesus, I'll do anything for you." But the real test of our love to God is when you prove it, okay? And you see that all the time. People say, "Okay, well, I'm going to do this." Well, prove it. You know, when you back up your words with action. Amen? You see, obedience, commitment, accountability, and reliability. This kingdom truth was a truth Jesus taught before his death, okay? And you can read about it in John 14, John 15. But in 1 John 5:3, it was a truth Jesus taught after his resurrection, okay? After he died on the cross, he rose again. It was a truth that he was to teach after Jesus ascended to heaven, okay? "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's what Jesus said. Okay? In fact, let's go to 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 3. Amen? Starting with verse 3 in 1 John chapter 5. "This is love for God, to obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So I say this, all of us allow our feelings, maybe. We allow our circumstances, our relatives, our jobs, our wants, our likes, maybe our dislikes, our past, our everything, to get in the way of following Jesus. But either way, we either say we're too tired, we're too lazy, we're hurt, we're angry, we're disappointed, we lack motivation or desire. Maybe it's a lack of time, conflict with maybe our schedule, lack of money, whatever it might be. All these things, they stop us from following Jesus unconditionally. Okay? So we hide behind all these things to excuse our lack of action, our lack of obedience in following Jesus wholeheartedly and unconditionally. You know, I mean, I preached this, but, you know, as I was preparing, I mean, you know, God spoke to me. And you know, I'm blessed in the fact that, you know, I've been, you know, God's given me a great job. You know, God's blessed me with, you know, just good friends, you know, family, you know, a nice car. I mean, I have things, you know, I thank God that he's blessed me with that. But, you know, I was realizing that sometimes I allow a lot of these things to get in the way of me, you know, putting God first and following him. And as I was preparing, you know, God kind of spoke to me and said, "Hey, you know, where are you? You know, do you love me? Do you love me?" And I was like, wow. You know, I actually found myself back when Peter was walking on the beach, you know, with Jesus. And I was like, wow. You know, and you know, I thank God for that. And, you know, I began to think about that. And a verse in the Bible came to my mind, and it was in Revelations chapter 2, I'm going to go ahead and read it, just verses 1 through 5. But, you know, God spoke to me, and I believe that He revealed this to me when as I begin to talk to me. Starting with verse 1, it says, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of Him who holds the seven stars in His right hand and walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have preserved and have endured hardship for my name. They have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." So God spoke to me and said, you know, if you love me, come back to me. Come back to my first love and repent and follow me. You know, pick up the cross and follow me. You know, and I like that because, you know, while Peter and Jesus, when they're walking on the beach, Peter looks, you know, he looks over his shoulder and he sees John, okay, following them. You know, have you ever had that? Maybe you had a sister, you know, longer, you know, where you're walking, you have a conversation going, and someone's, you know, listening in. Okay. And so Peter asked Jesus, "Well, wait a minute, God. Jesus, what about him? You know, what about him?" And Jesus responds twice to Peter's question, "What about him?" And says, "You follow me." And I like to use this because, you know, Satan, he uses this trick all the time to knock people off in following Jesus. Do you agree? You know, it is getting our eyes off Jesus and following Him unconditionally no matter what happens. It is to get our eyes, Satan likes to try to take the focus off Jesus and put our eyes to focus on people, okay? What they did or did not do, what they said or did not say. And so, how do we get off focus? How does that happen? When we allow the actions or words of other people to affect us in following Jesus, when we allow conflicts, disagreements, differences of opinion to get in the way of following Jesus, when we allow our wants, our goals, our conditions to get in the way, when we focus on circumstances, you know, on the ups and downs of life to get us off track, when we compare ourselves to other people, we will always find someone better, jealous, inferior, painful. You know, and I remember, you know, I found myself doing this a couple times. I have a really good friend of mine. We went to graduate school together at St. Mary's, and he's a really good friend of mine, and we actually got our master's degree together, and he went on to the city of Austin, I went on to the city of Dallas, and, you know, we were on track to become these future, you know, managers, directors, and eventually city managers to run the whole city. And, you know, my buddy, he did very well. He wound up becoming like the right hand for the city manager there, and then he got a position as an assistant director for a department, making really good money, doing very well. I mean, blessed. He even met a girl while he was there. He got married. You know, in fact, she was a preacher's daughter, and my buddy wasn't even a Christian when he moved there. Okay, or he was backslidden, but you know, God used that, and I thank God for that. But, you know, here I was, I went to Dallas, things were going really well, somewhat for the first year or so, and all of a sudden, the economy fell, the economy collapsed, and the city of Dallas was laying off like 900 people. Thankfully, I didn't get laid off, but my salary got cut, and I was like, oh, man, and I had to actually move in with my sister. You know, she had moved in from Fort Worth to Dallas, we got an apartment together, that was like, just, you know, it was a blessing, but also it was tough, you know. You know, if you're living with your siblings. But, you know, I share this because I began to look at my circumstances and I started comparing myself with my other peers, my friend, you know, who I went off. And I said, God, wait a minute. You know, why are you blessing him and not me? Why did he not have to go through this and I'm having to go through this? Why does he find a wife and I don't have a wife? You know, and I was asking all these questions, you know, and saying, and to top it off, my salary gets cut. And, you know, I had to lose my apartment. And now I move in with my sister. It was just like really kind of defeating, you know. It made me think, like, is it even worth, God, are you even there? Like, do you even care? You know, should I even follow you? And so I began to think that way. And this is why Jesus tells Peter, so what is that to you if I bless him? What is it to you if I want him to live forever? What is it to you? You follow me. Amen. Amen. And that's what I say today. Our relationship, our walk, and following Jesus is first a personal walk. Amen. We have to answer to Jesus for what he tells us. Peter got the message, okay? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, okay, Jesus left us an example to follow, okay? And Paul, you know, in fact, we'll go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. I want to read this real quick. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, okay? Not on people. And then we also need to walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen? So, you know, I share this today because it's important to know that, you know, if we're going to be victorious, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to grow in our faith as believers, you know, if we're going to take this kingdom for God, we're going to have to start by first saying, Lord, I do love you, and Lord, I will follow you, and I will obey you, and I'm going to put you first, and I'm going to fix my eyes on you, Jesus. And it's important. You know, I was given this book by a family member recently, and I've been reading it, and it's basically talking about the end times, but it's talking about the rise of Islam, okay? I thought it really fascinating, and I haven't finished it yet, but, you know, right now, Islam is one of the fastest growing religions in the world. And what's really amazing is that Christians, okay, even spirit-filled Christians, they were talking about how they're being deceived and converting to Islam, of all things, which I thought was crazy. I thought, no, this can't be true. But it's happening. But at the same time, there's Muslims who are becoming Christians. God is revealing them. Jesus is showing himself to them, and they're getting saved. But the thing is this, is that there's all these signs that are going on. I mean, Jesus is coming, people. He's coming soon. And the thing is this, is that when he comes, he's coming for his people that love him, okay? He's coming for those who said, Lord, you know, whether it be whatever the circumstances, Lord, I put you first, God. I put you first in everything. And who are willing to sacrifice for God. And so I ask you today to search your heart and ask yourself this. If Jesus was here today, and he asks you, do you love me? How would you respond? Okay? And I'll even go further. If you can't respond and say, God, you know I love you. You know I'm going to serve you. And if you can't obey, and when Jesus says, okay, well then, feed my sheep. You know, take care of my sheep. Go out and tell people about me. You know, share the gospel. Be bold. If you can't do that, then you need to check yourself today. You need to look in your heart and say, God, what is it that I'm missing? Lord, what do I need to do, Father, to put you first in my life? You know, I shared that story about how that young gangster, you know, how he gave his life to God. That was a transformation experience. You know, that became his transformation. And with Peter, how all these conditions were set, but now he could love God unconditionally because of what had happened to him, because of what Jesus did in that cross. So if that's you today, I want to invite anyone here today, everyone, to come to the altar and just open your heart to God and say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to reveal to me your love, God, to show me my first love, to when I first, you know, found you. You know, for those who are Christians, you remember the day when you first got saved. A lot of people can remember, you know, the day, the time, where they were at. And if you haven't been walking, or you haven't been maybe like excited or motivated, or if you've been putting conditions on God, then I invite you to come up here and I want to pray with you to just allow God to really just pour his love, to restore you the way he restored Peter. I mean, it can't get any worse than this. When Peter denied Jesus three times, this is a man who walked with Jesus. I mean, he saw him physically and he still denied Jesus. You know, but you know what? God loved him and he restored him. And that's what God wants to do today, this morning. God wants to restore you. He wants to let you know that whatever has happened in your life, that, hey, you know what? He still loves you and that he wants to help you in this life. And he wants to walk with you, just like he walked with Peter on the beach. You know, he wants to have that conversation today. So if that's you, I want you to come, you know. Come right now if that's you. In fact, I want everybody just to bow your heads as people are coming. Just pray to God right now. Ask God to come in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just come to you right now, Jesus. And Lord, we just, Lord, we search our hearts, God. And Lord, as we have that conversation with you today, Lord, you know, we pray, Lord, that we will be able to just say yes to you, God. To say, Lord, yes, Lord, I do love you, Lord. And I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to return, Lord, to my first love. Restore us today, Jesus. Restore, Lord, that love, Lord, that only comes from you, which is unconditional love, Jesus. And help us, God, to not put conditions on you, but to truly love you the way that you want us to, Lord. And so I ask, I pray that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray as people's hearts are just, Lord, as they're searching their hearts, God, as you're ministering to them today. Lord, speak to them, Lord. Show them, God. Show them how to love others, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give this to you right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I'm still going to give a couple minutes. There's time. If you want to be restored today, if you want to have that conversation with Jesus today, come down. Let God restore you. Let God give you back that first love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty, endless worth.
Thank you, Lord.
Nothing in this world will satisfy me.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, you're the cup that won't drown.
If y'all can just go ahead and just worship, feel free to stand up and worship and praise God.
And of my soul. In my weakness, you are merciful. redeemer of my past and present wrongs, holder of my future days to come, redeemer of my past and present wrongs, holder of my future days to come.
You know, when Jerry shared about that he had a friend who says all kind of things, Leo and I have a friend. His name is Tony. And I call him Tony Baloney because the guy can look you straight in the face and he could be lying and he would look so serious. And you just look at him and you say, man, you know he's lying. And he'll say all kind of things, but he won't follow through. So I call him Tony Baloney. Anyway, I ask that you lift your hands towards heaven, receive this morning's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.